It's football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
First and 5 of the 28. Two receivers left, single wide to the right. They give it on an end around to Sanders. Sanders wants to throw. Wide open is Courtland Sutton. Dives in the end zone. Caught it. Touchdown. Emmanuel Sanders almost led him too far, but the rookie from SMU, Courtland Sutton, on the dive and a fingertip grab in the end zone makes it 13-0 Broncos.
There's been a confrontation that the community has been waiting for years to come to a head.
Yeah, so we're going to settle it with a slap fight like we've been seeing on viral videos.
Dude.
What's going on today, by the way?
Unbelievable. If you haven't seen those Rex Chapman block or charge tweets, they're hilarious. But the people want to know. The people want to know. There's been ongoing tension for about 3 years now with you, a sports talk show host,
yes,
and Emmanuel Sanders, a star wide receiver for the Denver Broncos.
Yes, multimillionaire. Let's throw that in there, too.
There's been half a dozen, at least, exchanges between the two of you.
At least.
And it sounds like there is great momentum coming to a head tomorrow. A showdown between you and Emmanuel.
Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, Emmanuel Sanders will be in the studio for an hour, and we'll get to it. So, me, you, Emmanuel, and it should be appointment must-listen radio. Should be interesting.
Is this something that you're looking forward to, or is this something that you... Yes?
Now I am. This kind of came up a few months ago. And I was not into it at all. I felt much more confrontational about the whole thing. This is during the season, and it just wouldn't have been good. Would not have been good. But I feel differently now.
Well, he in his tweet to you a couple months ago now, he included, it's one of the more recent ones, he included emojis. And emojis sometimes can change the tone of how something is taken.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget, over time he said how terrible I am, how, you know, I'm bad, how, like, Marquette King had the right idea with me, and, you know, there's been other things going on. I mean, some...
What was the worst thing he said to you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't take it all that seriously, to be quite honest with you, but it was along those type of lines.
But if he said something, like, truly, truly cutting, it would stick out.
Yeah, so I guess maybe there isn't anything super, super cutting because nothing really
like,
does.
You suck, also, you want attention.
I'm also incredibly forgetful. Yeah, he said he was going to end my career.
But that wasn't, I mean, that was like, hey, if we ever got in the same studio, I'd outshine him and end his career, like, type thing.
Yeah, it's all kind of like that, too. By the way, I mean, that's kind of part of it as well that, you know, I know he wants to be a broadcaster, you know, and I think that's fine. I think he should pursue it. I think he's good at it. But we'll hash it out tomorrow. We'll hash it all out tomorrow, one way or the other. Have no idea how it's going to go. There are no other ground rules for it other than he's coming in, and it'll happen tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
And you guys are not going to talk before this.
Well, that'd be impossible. You know, somebody said that to me today, like, why don't you reach out to him, D-Mac? I don't have his phone number. He doesn't have my phone number, unless he, you know, I say my phone number on the air, 719-229-8152.
I don't know why you do that.
Because I get a lot of cool information. I like hearing from people.
Oh, gotcha.
719-229-8152. I've been giving that number out on the air for a decade.
I know you have.
And if you want to know why I've got 719, it's because I was fired from KBPI. I worked in Colorado Springs for 5.5 years, and is a daily reminder to me to stay, believe it or not, humble and never take things more than in this business one day at a time. That is literally why I have a 719. I could have easily changed it over the years.
The staying humble part, I could give you some pushback, but I like the idea.
You can only stay somewhat humble doing this job, but try to be kind to the people that I work with. Try to be generous and be open with things. Try to support other people with what they do. But we're talk radio. You got to give your opinion, dude.
Sure.
You can't be boring. Can't sit up behind these microphones and be boring.
You won't get paid for very long, that's for sure.
It's just nobody will pay attention. And we've seen radio stations in this town that have tried to go down that path, and it doesn't work. Because you know what the worst thing about being boring? You're not being honest. You're not. You're lying. You're constantly lying. You're constantly looking at the bright side of things. You're just lying all the time.
And eventually people don't respect that. Like the,
no, you know, nor should they.
It turns into, you know, indifference. And I know that I get constantly reminded, and sometimes I need to refresh my own mindset with this, that I know when I'm getting yelled at for being, have orange and blue glasses, and I know when I'm getting yelled at for being too negative about John Elway and the Denver Broncos, I know I'm doing a pretty good job. Because when you're honest, the truth is often right in the middle, and two things can be true at the same time. John Elway can be a Super Bowl winning GM. John Elway can be one of the great fixtures that we've ever had in Colorado, but also at the same time have, you know, working on a half of a decade of what would seem to be ineptitude.
Yeah, the only thing I would hope out of Emmanuel tomorrow is that he's just as honest as he can be.
Do you think he will be?
I hope so. Like, for example, when he was critical of Antonio Brown, at the end of the comments, he, like, you know, stopped short and said, hey, we'd be great teammates together. Well, don't say that, because you know that's not true. There's no world where you and Antonio called him out on it.
He did.
So just don't do that.
My biggest
question. He was great about Antonio Brown, like, up until, like, that moment where he tried to couch it and, you know, try to be friendly with things where he really didn't need to, in my opinion.
My biggest question about tomorrow, and if you're just joining us, Emmanuel Sanders is going to be in studio tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We're going to stream the video. There'll be nothing hidden here. There's no preconceived notion about what's going to happen. There's no previous conversation. They're going to walk him in here while we are on the air, and it's just going to go down like it's going to go down. But my biggest question is,
yeah,
what type of tone does he come in here with? Because I think...
be up to him.
Sure. But I believe that...
I think he'll be in a good mood.
I think he will, too. I don't think he wants to come in here confrontational.
I think that day with Cecil and Pritch was weird because he didn't know the radio station. He was here for another purpose.
Right.
For one of our other radio stations.
That's right.
And, you know, and I don't blame him. I don't expect guys that play for the Broncos to know, like, how other stations are aligned. So I just think it was kind of an interesting day to catch him. And, you know, this is different. I mean, that was literally kind of sprung on him, and he was nice enough to do it. He certainly didn't have to. This is, you know, sort of a different deal. Well, big time different deal. It should be fun. It should be interesting, compelling. It should not be boring. And we'll go from there.
To say the least.
If Brendan Langley and Mark Schlereth can have dinner together, I mean, if we can cross that gap of the Brendan Langley, Mark Schlereth, 13 and a half hour Twitter beef. If we could somehow cross that, Zach, can't we all get along?
If eyes can change, the news can change, right? I saw something today, D-Mac, that once again just sort of like twisted the knife a little bit on what could have been. And it has to deal with the quarterback position. I'll tell you what it is next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You know, D-Mac, I saw a headline and I knew it was coming. We were given the heads up. And it just made me just once again just say, what could have been?
What was that?
Chad Kelly. Back in court. We all know what went down. October 22nd. That bizarre arrest. And one of my biggest regrets when I look back at this season. When I look back at this 6-win season.
There's a snake in my boot.
If there was one thing that I could have changed.
What's that?
Is that when the Broncos were out of playoff contention,
mm-hmm,
we never got to take a look at Chad Kelly in the last. We never got to take a look at Chad Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll never be able to take a look at Chad Kelly.
No, we won't.
But I'll say this. I'll say this. After seeing the video today, I did feel a little bit sympathetic for him.
Well, there's a fun part. Here, let the music go a little bit. The fun part was seeing him dressed up as Woody from Toy Story. Being whacked with a vacuum tube into the front yard.
Like running out the front door.
He's got the jeans, he's got the vest and the white shirt, and there's the guy with the tube, and he's whacking at him and yelling at him, and Chad Kelly kind of stumbles. And so this is the part where the music and everything is kind of funny. But then they go to where he's like in the jail cell.
That was the...
Oh, man.
When you see it, if you haven't seen it, guys, Chad Kelly... Whew, he is literally on his hands and knees on this holding tank floor, crossing himself, praying that, you know, I don't want to forecast what he was praying, but he's probably praying his career's not over.
That got me too. And
couldn't help it.
I was like, oh, I'm thinking about Toy Story, and he's funny, and he's getting whacked by a vacuum tube, and just having a great old time. And then they even it was kind of funny seeing him handcuffed and led into the jail area, still dressed as Woody. But then it got to the jail cell, and I don't know where the vest went. And then he's got his hands in his head, or head in his hands, and he's obviously crying.
I mean, he's literally lying on his face on this holding tank floor.
And then he's, you know, praying on his knees, and... That's where it just wasn't, you know, fun at all, obviously. And it was sad. It was sad. And I felt bad for him.
You could see him. You could, there's no audio to it. But there's an overwhelming sense that Chad Kelly, in that 10-second video, feels everything just slipping through his fingers.
Mm.
Like, here I am again. And I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. And I know people will say, look, this isn't a second chance. He told the nightclub he was going to, you know, go get his AK, and he jumped over the fence at his brother's, you know, football game after a late hit in Buffalo. You know, he's kind of a wild boy. And you see the remorse, and I couldn't help to personalize it. That I have done things. Now, I never ended up in someone's living room, but you could probably argue I've done equivalent of that. Late nights. Stomping around at, you know, 21, 22 years old. And that could have been me. And
could have been, yep.
My heart just goes out to him. And I hope he gets a second chance. He screwed up. He screwed up in a big way. If you want to say he doesn't deserve one, I can hear that, because you could formulate an argument why he shouldn't, why he's been privileged his whole life and gotten away with so much. That video, it just almost for a second made me a little bit vulnerable. That, you know what, dude? You might have dodged a couple bullets. This one was a bullet he didn't dodge. He's probably going to get a second opportunity because his last name's Kelly. His uncle could put in a word to Dan Marino, who's still affiliated with the Dolphins, and you know, maybe he can get a second look. But that video right there, my heart just goes out to him. But to the football portion of it, wouldn't it have been nice that when the season had been lost, after the Broncos, you know, were in a must-win situation and got down 20-0 against the San Francisco 49ers, and George Kittle goes all Shannon Sharp, after that had passed, we knew, like, it was done. It was over. And that would have been a unique window at the end of a season that didn't mean anything. We got to a point where it was done. You know, the game against the Raiders on Christmas Eve, it was over. And it would have been really nice to take a look at this guy who, lest we forget, absolutely freaking lit the preseason up. He's going against threes and fours. I got it. But he freaking lit it up. And it would have been so nice to just bring some sort of resolution to, does this guy flash? Does he have the goods at a position that we have just been destitute and have been striking out over and over and over again? That's one of the things that if I could go back and change from the 2018 season, that would be one of them.
Here's part of the problem, though. The Broncos just weren't into him. period.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Well, we don't get to be at practice. We don't get to be in the meetings. We don't get to be at all those things passing in a training camp. But I know they weren't into him. And so when this happened, this was not a difficult decision for them whatsoever.
But here, think about this. In two consecutive preseasons, in a position that's the most important of all, in mm-hmm. all of sports, quarterback most important, in two consecutive preseasons, we saw the third string guy pop. And in both cases, when John Elway and the Broncos haven't been able to figure it out, they've been dismissive of that guy in Kyle Sloter and Chad Kelly in consecutive preseasons. And for the life of me, I'll never be able to figure it out. You can talk to me about practice and film and whiteboard stuff, and maybe, you know, there was a couple things that they didn't like. Maybe he was late. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't know how to be a pro. I don't know. But I know in that position how important it is. Two guys flashed in consecutive preseasons, and they were dismissive of both of them.
Yeah. In terms of this case, too, to show you how much they, you know, really weren't into him, he gets a plea deal, which is very common. Although there was a strategy, if it had to go to trial, they were ready to do it, and it was a pretty good strategy. He got 1 year supervised probation, which means you got to check in with wherever, and I think he's going to serve that in Western New York. I think he's going home a little bit. And he got 50 hours of community service. I think there were some other, you know, minor fines and, you know, court costs and that sort of thing. And he, you know, obviously had to retain Harvey Steinberg, which that's not cheap. Not everybody gets to do that, by the way. And Harvey's really, really good.
Did the Broncos foot that bill?
Oh, God, no. No.
So that was Chad?
I would assume so. Okay. I mean, he was on an NFL roster. He's making plenty of money.
Well, I just know the Broncos said that, hey, you know, we're going to, you know, Chad's no longer part of our team, we'd offer to help him however we can. We're supportive of him in every way possible.
That's just...
I mean, paying for his lawyer might be part of that. So...
No way.
It's a fair question, though.
Okay. I think they're just putting out a statement and they don't want anything to do with him ever again. Just trying to be nice. I doubt they're financially helping him out. And so, at the end of the day, the charge wasn't that much. He'll probably get suspended by the league for a game. And, Zach, I was told that there's at least one team interested in signing him. And we'll see where that goes. I mean, what makes the most sense, of course, he just gets signed up by the Buffalo Bills. Wouldn't that be something?
I think it'd cast too much of a shadow.
No, that would be awesome. He would be welcomed.
I know he would.
I know he would.
That'd be part of the problem. That, like, that you drafted this young franchise quarterback in Josh Allen, he throws three picks, and you're going to hear Kelly chants from people who watched Jim do his thing for 15 years there.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it'd be a little bit muddied. If it works out for him, it works out for him. But I don't know. I think Buffalo would be the last place. Like the Bills from a managerial position, like front office, I think that'd be the last spot that he'd end up.
We shall see. But it's done here. It's probably the last we'll see of Chad Kelly in the Denver area. And I wish him nothing but the best. I think there's a bigger problem, by the way.
With Chad?
I can tell you on the other side, but I think there's a bigger organizational problem that led to this.
I want to hear about that.
All right.
Next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
D-Mac, we were just talking about Chad Kelly, and I'm sure a lot of you saw the news earlier today that the quarterback, former Bronco quarterback, struck a deal with prosecutors in which Chad Kelly agreed to plead guilty to basically a lesser charge of second-degree criminal trespass,
mm-hmm.
which is a Class 3 misdemeanor. And in exchange, this is the most important part for him, the felony trespass charge is now dropped.
Yeah.
So a good day, I guess, for Chad Kelly?
Yeah, it's the whole thing now is over. It's 50 hours of community service. He does have to check in with a probation officer for a year. But he can do that anywhere. And
Some of fines, some of fees.
Yeah.
So basically this is going away.
It's gone.
But as we were going into break, you touched on something that sounded like a big topic. You said this is, I don't want to put words in your mouth, just paraphrasing. You said this is sort of maybe indicative of a larger problem at hand.
I think so. And I think it's the party itself. And this whole like push that, oh, we just have this party every year, and that you don't have it like this.
What Halloween party?
Right.
This was next level.
Yeah, it was absurd.
I think the guest list was, let's say, like 700 people or something like that. There was other teams that were in town were invited.
This guy's from the Rapids there. There's all sorts of women that they're not girlfriends or wives. They're just there.
They brought in, who's the I'm in love with the Coca? There it is. OT Genesis.
Yeah, he was a guest performer.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if you've ever seen this. But if you want to see something, I'm in love with you go to YouTube. Watch the music video for this. Watch the music video for that one. And I'm just going to leave it there. Me and Stokely watched it one day, and we're just both like, and I know I'm going to sound like an old man saying this, but our jaws were just on the floor.
Yeah, I know. This is like we sound like old guys, right? Get off my lawn sort of stuff. But I don't know if you could have had a better example of death by inches than the Broncos Halloween party last year. Because it was just...
What Halloween party?
Yeah. It was just unnecessary. Like, you can have it. You can have fun. Nobody's not telling you to not do that. But let's be reasonable with what we're doing. And certainly let's look out for each other. I mean, no matter what, in a team, you have got to look out for each other. So when the story comes that, you know, Chad's in a beef with Vaughn's video crew and they more or less threw him out, and I don't know how else you could look at it, but he was thrown out because nobody went after him. And I get it. I think there was like a beef with like a girl or something. But, I mean, if you know Chad Kelly is being told to leave and you just let him leave and nobody goes after him, you're not looking out for your teammate. Even if you hate his guts, Zach. Even if you hate his guts. And guess what, Vaughn? It's your party. You've got to be responsible. You decided to have the party. So at the end of the day, the buck stops with you. So this is, to me, you know, Chad Kelly is a grown man. He's responsible for his personal behavior. But Vaughn had the party, man. I don't know what else to say.
And I think a part of it, really the main part of the equation, is that Vaughn has grown into such a star. I mean, he's a star. He's got like a cartoon coming out where he's like the main character voicing. He is a star. And I think that when he's responsible for throwing the party, he wants the party to match, to be the equivalent of where he's at. So you've got to do it big. I mean, think about what you said. You said Chad Kelly got into a skirmish with the video crew. Like,
right.
Like, they didn't just have a party.
No.
They had to film the party, too. Yeah.
And they filmed it.
Because it's that big.
And they posted it. And, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't see the Chad Kelly stuff, but apparently there was a beef there. It was just so absurdly unnecessary.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about death by inches, you know when you can have a great party, Vaughn? How about Friday night, this Friday night? Does anybody care if Vaughn Miller books a concert at the Gothic and invites everybody out Friday night?
And here's the other thing.
I don't care.
No. Could care less. And here's the other thing. Like, yes, you say that's death by inches. And I hear what you're saying on that.
It's more than that, though. It's death by, like yards. It's death by football fields. Because at the end of the day, you just let one of your teammates, you know, see ya.
And that's
you didn't care.
Well, that's a separate tentacle to this argument as well. And again, valid. You want to point that out. That's valid. Here's the thing that I didn't like about the party. It was just the optic of it that they were a bad football team.
Yeah.
They were bad. We got to remember when this took place, October 22nd, right? They had lost to the Ravens. They lost to the Chiefs. Then they followed that up with a terrible, terrible loss to the New York Jets. Then they lost to the Rams. Vaughn got up there and said, we're going to whoop the Cardinals' ass, which is basically like the captain of the varsity team saying, oh, JV, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the party. They had lost four or five games coming off the heels of a 5-win football team. I just didn't like how, and again, is it an end-all, be-all thing? No, it's not. But I didn't like how just bad the Broncos were, and there they are in the midst of this thing just going hard and heavy, and it was just blown up to this. It was blown up. It's like, wait, you guys are, I mean, let's be real. You guys are terrible. You guys are a terrible football team. But it's the biggest Halloween party in the history of the Broncos Halloween party.
What Halloween party?
The Halloween party.
And so today was kind of the end of it. So again, like, Emmanuel's going to be here tomorrow. Oh, we could go into it, I suppose. If there's no conditions on this interview tomorrow, 5 o'clock. But today was the end of it. This was the ultimate conclusion to a team that was focused on the wrong thing, Zach. Coaches who allowed things to happen.
That's for sure.
By the way, you have to know, like, the next day, John Elway and Joe Ellis, they were all tied up in this crap. They had to go through, like, an HR investigation. It was just a waste of time. And then they had to let go of, you know, John's friends with Jim Kelly. They got to dump his nephew for foolish reasons. Waste of time.
Does that party, even half of the equivalent, happen in 2019? And this October?
I hope not. I hope not. I hope that lesson's been learned. I sincerely hope not. We'll see. But I just can't imagine Vic Fangio being okay with it. I can't imagine Vic Fangio being okay with Menelik Watson engaging to his, you know, fiance during a game. He doesn't strike me as that sort of guy. And VJ was just making excuses for these dudes left and right.
For sure. And he was by being buddy-buddy, essentially by the end of it, just emasculated and not respected.
Who you take it out on? Chad Kelly? For what? 50 hours of community service? I mean, that's what he got. Some court fees and 50 hours of community service. It's nothing.
Tomorrow, Emmanuel Sanders, if you're just joining us, will be in studio after years of conflict with DMAC. He'll be here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Well, the video will be rolling, will be live. And I want to hear what your first question to Emmanuel Sanders is next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
From the 36-yard line, play action. Case Keenum looking deep. Wants it all. Emmanuel Sanders wide open at the 20. He's got it at the 10, to the 5. He'll flip into the end zone for the touchdown. Head over heels. Emmanuel Sanders with a flip and a dance afterwards, celebrating a 64-yard score, making it 27-3 Broncos.
The biggest matchup since Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6. Will happen tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
That was the WrestleMania. That was the biggest one.
It was
one.
The unstoppable force versus the immovable object. And for those who don't know, Emmanuel Sanders is going to hopefully resolve his conflict with our own DMAC that's been happening for about 3 years now.
Well,
right?
I don't think that's why we're doing it. I don't know if it's to resolve anything. I think it's to...
What is the purpose?
I don't know. I didn't start this time around. It was Emmanuel. And he's more or less said, you know, have me in, like, kind of like sort of daring us to have him in, that sort of thing. And I'm like, okay, fine, come on in. And then it sort of nothing happened for about a week. And then it kind of popped up today. And I was like, great. But and then it got all resolved. It got settled out.
Well, he tweeted, he said, have your people contact me. And we did.
Yeah, this wasn't really generated by us.
Nope.
I mean, you know, we kind of confirmed things and worked some stuff out, but it's not like there was something happening behind the scenes to make this all come together.
But to your you know, sort of pushback from me, you said, look, I'm not looking for a resolution. Wouldn't you feel better about things if there was some level of burying the hatchet?
No.
No, okay.
It's not a priority to me at all.
Very DMAC response.
No, I don't care about burying the hatchet.
What's best case scenario for you tomorrow?
We have a good, honest conversation that's entertaining to listen to. I don't need to go out to dinner. It's okay. We went shopping. We did Click List and you went to King Supers the other day. I'm good. I don't need to go out to dinner. Not to disparage my man Stink and Brendan Langley. I'm glad they had a nice dinner, but I don't need that.
When he walks through here, it's going to be at 5 o'clock. So almost exactly 24 hours from now, he's going to sit down right next to you.
Yeah.
Your first question is what?
Why are you here? I know why I'm here. Why are you here? I'll go from there.
Is there, I have two follow-ups to that.
But isn't that a good question?
Sure.
Like, why are you here? Let's think about this for a second. Like, how did this even get to this point? Like, why? You know, you're a star. You're a Super Bowl champion. How much does Emmanuel make? $10, $11 million a year? You've got an Achilles injury that you're rehabbing from. You've got, a family. It's 5 o'clock on a Thursday. Why are you here? I mean, I'm not doing anything special. I've been here at 5 o'clock since 2009, I've been on a Thursday, more or less, for 10 years here. Why are you here? I'll go from there.
I wonder what he is hoping to get out of it.
That's a good question. I'll ask him that.
I believe that from Emmanuel's point of view, he is hoping for some level of resolution to this thing between you two. And I don't believe.
Why, though? Well, we'll find out.
Well, you say why.
Well, I mean, that would be my question. If he said that to me, I said, well, why is that important to you? Why does that matter? And we'll see what he says. You know, one thing I'll definitely try to do tomorrow is listen. So more so than me trying to prove something to him or one up, I will try to ask direct pointed questions and listen and go from there.
Are you willing to admit some level of guilt would be the wrong word, but just ownership and involvement of
like what of what?
Just stoking the flames of it.
Such as?
You putting an emphasis on his shortcomings.
Like what? You gotta give me some specifics here.
You're a bad leader. You lied. You lied to the Denver Broncos. You said you were someplace
with a good one.
With your a baby's mom during a birth or short after or whatever.
In that particular story, he is accused of being a liar by his wife, girlfriend, whoever it is. Wasn't me.
The mother of his child, right?
The mother of his child accused him of lying.
Right, but again,
not me.
No, well, again, I said your involvement of putting an emphasis on his shortcomings. Like there was no other host here at the Fan that was putting the same sort of emphasis on those things that you were.
If you bring me specifics, but there's nothing I can think of off the top of my head. Now, listen, I'm not the most, I don't have the world's greatest memory, so you'd have to give me the specifics, I suppose. But you know what? A lot of that is kind of just way in the past, in all honesty. And I'm not really all that interested in diving in to the past. We can if we want to circle around
what
the beef is.
Like your sort of history building up to this point. It's all in the past.
Essentially, my beef was he was being a selfish player and not a good leader. And then it just sort of went from there.
Did you do anything over the last 3 years involving Emmanuel that you would like to have back?
No. I can't even, but again, I'm forgetful. But I don't think so, no. Can you think of something? Can anybody think of something?
Well, again, I would just say, putting an emphisis Emmanuel's shortcomings.
I am hardly perfect and not even close. So, and I'm forgetful. So if you come up with something and it makes sense, I'll give you for instance that I have apologized for in the past. Like when Todd Helton got busted for a DUI the day before he was going off to spring training for his final year, like we had some fun with it. And my point was, I don't think Todd was really into the season and, we can't have starters on the team who just really aren't into it. And we used to play Red Solo Cup, the song Red Solo Cup. Well, we probably went a little bit overboard with it. And when I say we, I mean me. I was definitely steering that ship. So after a while, I realized, okay, I'm definitely doing this. I've made my point. And I don't need to be kind of this ridiculous about it. And was pointed out by a really good friend of mine, somebody who I really do care what they think about me. And I feel bad about it, and I apologized for it, and I tried to reach out to Todd to make sure he knew that I was sorry about going overboard with it. I still stick to my point, but I didn't need to be ridiculous.
Was he receptive of your apology?
No, I think he hates my guts, and, you know, he lives in Tennessee now, and, you know, we were never all that great friends in the get-go, but, you know, and I feel bad about that, actually, because he's one of my favorite Rockies of all time. So that went from just being funny by itself and observational to being mean-spirited. And so I feel bad about that. And I've tried to change that with everything that I've done, you know, on the air. I've tried not to really go crazy. Try to have fun.
Sure.
Try to have some jokes and everything. But, you know, we don't need to go over the line.
Well, let me just say this, D-Mac. When there's a sit-down like this, and again, if you're just joining us 24 hours from now, nearly exactly, Emmanuel Sanders is going to be in studio at 5 o'clock. When you sit down with someone, whether it's for a negotiation or something like this, when it's you're sort of trying to mend fences is the wrong word, but something like this that has this sort of tone.
Yeah.
I believe he's coming in here tomorrow. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's coming in here on good faith, and by the time he walks out of here, I think he wants things a little bit smoothed over. Why he wants that, I'm curious to find that out, just like you are.
I am too.
But I wanted to say this here, that if you are absolutely unwilling to give him anything in return, like, I've done nothing wrong, Emmanuel. Never, not once, I don't take anything back on whether the way that you said something, whatever.
What would it be?
Well, I'm just saying that I'm not expecting him. Like, he may be, I'm only expecting so much out of him if you're unwilling to give an inch on anything that's happened between the two of you.
I don't know. You'd have to bring up, like, a specific example.
D-Mac just wants some attention.
Wow, where's that from? I don't even remember that
one. I was going to say, neither do I.
Wow. Yeah, let's hear it.
I don't even have a conversation with D-Mac. D-Mac just wants some attention. And so I don't even have time to even give him attention. He keeps throwing shots at me on Twitter and throwing shots at me, you know, just everywhere. And obviously somebody needs to give him a hug, man. D-Mac, if you're out there listening, I love you, brother. I don't have a problem with you, man. I don't have a problem with you. So please get off my back, because I just want to bring a championship to the city of Denver, and I want to do it and make the city of Denver proud. So please get off my back, because, man, you're not getting any attention from me besides nothing but love. No hate coming from me, Sanders.
Where is that from?
That's the Super Bowl with Mike Evans.
Oh, that's at the Super Bowl.
That had to be like 2017.
Okay. Man. Okay. Well, look, I hope it goes well. But
me too.
But we don't know how it's going to go.
Man, you're making me nervous now, because you're throwing out all sorts of, like, you know, I got to, because I'm really trying to figure out what I'm supposed to apologize for.
Well, I'm sure he's going to have a couple suggestions for you.
Look forward to it. I mean, he wants me to get off his back. Because he doesn't, you know, what does that mean? Listen, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. This all kind of popped up at the last second. Totally different frame of mind for everybody from 2 years ago. So hopefully it goes good. It's interesting to listen to. And I guess we could hug it out. With that. Is that what everybody wants? No? Kevin Kistner shaking his head. No. No, I really don't care. We don't. Like, we definitely don't have to hug it out and post a picture. I don't care. But maybe that happens. I don't know. We'll find out. We really don't know what's going to happen.
This is going to be pretty awesome. It's appointment listening, and I'm here for it. This is Mark Schlereth on what kind of position the Broncos are in the draft.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Here's where the Broncos happen to sit. You can say, hey, man, it's a good fortune, or it's not. They have multiple positions they need to fill. And, yeah, at first blush, the thing that makes the most sense is go after a defensive player. Go after one of these elite linebackers, whether it's a Bush, whether it's White, whoever it may be. That would be the conventional wisdom pick, and a lot of people have them picking one of those linebackers. But you have had such bad drafts for the last 4 or 5 years, last year notwithstanding, that you have multiple positions to fill. And here's what I love about the Broncos. They are in a position to take the best player available, regardless of position, because they need a guy at tight end that can be a difference maker. I believe they need a left tackle that can be a difference maker. I believe they could use a great defensive interior inside player. And I know they can use a great linebacker. So depending upon your evaluation, your scouting staff, you have got multiple needs to fill. You get to go after the guy that you think is a generational type player, regardless of that position. And that, to me, is a position of strength because you're less likely to screw that draft pick up. That guy is more likely to come right in and be efficient, be great, and be a difference maker on this ball club. So, frankly, bring on the draft because you got multiple positions to fill, and whoever you're going to get is going to be great when he gets his cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.